Now, we are going to look at a description of how the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there are lots of lessons to be learned from this passage. But this passage is quite long, so we're not going to read the entire passage. But it's taken from Matthew 26, verses 47 to 56. Well, first we are looking at this very, very important to understand all these things, all right? So, yeah. We are looking at the betrayal of the Lord Jesus in the first place. Now, this is one of the sad things about betrayal. And betrayal can take in a lot of forms, right? Now, there are people who are open antagonists. And open antagonists are people who show their hands very early. They reject, they protest, they get angry, and they all the way through, they will oppose. That is something that is sad, but you are forewarned. But the greatest difficulty in this kind of betrayal is when it is one who is close at hand. So we have Judas, well, one of the 12, right? The Lord, after prayer, decided to give to him a special grace shown to him. Come and be a disciple. So he was always classified as one of the 12. Now, at no time did the Lord Jesus Christ intimate to them that this is going to be the traitor. Of course, he knew exactly. From time to time, he speaks about it, but in a very veiled manner. He does not allow the disciples to turn on Judas in any way. So for all wants and purposes, Judas was just one of the 12. Right? Now, this is very important. And yet, this very person was going to be the one who will betray the Lord Jesus. I think betrayal, when it comes from one who is close to the heart, one who is close proximity, one who is of a rare company, in this case, the company of 12, that becomes even more painful. Now, on the other hand, we have the other side. The great multitude, we read, the great multitude came. They came with swords, they came with clubs, right? And they came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now, that's expected. They don't know the Lord Jesus. They have come to him as if they were trying to catch a robber. But the Lord Jesus, anything but. And so they came armed fully, right? Now, what was the sign of the betrayal, which is really kind of painful, we read? Right, this is absolutely important, and where we read this obvious sign, okay, and it was giving the sign of a cross. Look at verse 48. Now his betrayer had given them a sign. Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Right, now this is important. So immediately he went up to the Lord Jesus and he said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Now, that is really, really shocking, simply because now a kiss is basically, in the early days, it's freely exchanged between people who are family members, people who are close friends, between a teacher and a student. That's always a sign of affection. And now suddenly you have a betrayal. It is not a sign of affection. It is as Judas is basically went up to the Lord Jesus, held him. And as he held him, literally as gave him a kiss, that holding of the Lord Jesus was not a hug. It was literally seizing the Lord Jesus, lest he, runs away, or lest he resorts to violence or whatever. This was Judas' mind. Let me hold him, give him a kiss. So the Lord Jesus then locked in that embrace and he cannot get out. And so he tells the people, the one whom I kiss will be the one you want to arrest. And it wasn't Peter, it wasn't James, it wasn't John. It would have been normal for them to go and greet each other. But no, this wasn't the case here. And this was something which had to be looked into, right? This is the sign of betrayal, where the kiss becomes not of affection, but one of dreaded betrayal. And the Lord's response is to me absolutely amazing. He said to him calmly, "Friend, why have you come?" Now, that sounds very, very strange, right? So here is the Lord Jesus being held so that he cannot run away. And the Lord Jesus responds and says to him, calls him friend. Right? Now, this is important. So there's still a level, basically, he does not regard them, does regard him as a disciple in that sense, because he never was. He attended class, but he was not a disciple. So the Lord did not see him as an enemy either. He just simply called him by your standard greeting, friend. Right? Now, why have you come? The Lord knows exactly why he has come, obviously. But this is to make Judas think, why have you come? In other words, why are you doing this? Why are you betraying? Why are you doing this thing which you know, and he knows it, that this is all so wrong? And this is something which the Lord continues to be who he is, right? Merciful and gracious and kind, right? And so this is important for us to understand and appreciate. Here, they see the Lord Jesus as an enemy. And there is the Lord Jesus showing kindness, graciousness, to all who will come to arrest him. That, to me, stands out. Now, so we see the Lord Jesus, we see Judas, we see the multitude, three different groups of people. Now, we see one more person, and that one is called Peter. Now, Peter is the known leader of this group of 12. Right? We read, "And suddenly one of those who were with the Lord Jesus," verse 51, "stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear." Well, the Lord Jesus had to say to him, "Put your sword in its place." All right? "But all who take the sword will perish by the sword." And this is a very strong word of warning. The Lord had to tell him, stop. Why? Because if swords are drawn at this point of time, remember, all the soldiers, they are armed. Right, so they are going to be armed with swords, with clubs. Now, they only among the 12, they had two swords. Peter held one, and this was a really big problem. How are you going to have two people who are going to fight against the whole multitude, a whole literally a company of soldiers who are going to come here to arrest? It would have been in the night. There would have been a lot of unnecessary bloodshed. People are going to get wounded. People are going to get killed for nothing. And the Lord says to Peter, stop. Don't do this. Right? And this is something that we want to appreciate very much. Right? So here is Peter. In his anger, Peter, in his, in typical of Peter. Right? When we talk about James and John, how they're called sons of thunder. Peter is no much different in this particular respect. He will strike first and ask questions later, and that is important. So how does he stop Peter from doing it, besides telling him, put up your sword? And the Lord tried to help him to understand. Do you think, I cannot pray to my Father right now? And you know what? If I were to pray to my Father right now, you know what he will do? He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels. That literally would be thousands of angels, right? Thousands of angels will come to the rescue of the Lord Jesus, given a moment's notice. 1 second later, they will be there. Well, Peter, I don't need this kind of support. And I don't want you to go into these things here, because he will be placing all the others in danger. And the plan of God, most of all, was what the scriptures had already prophesied. How could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus. The betrayal was something scriptures had already prophesied. The suffering of the Lord Jesus also prophesied. The death of the Lord Jesus also prophesied. And every part of it has been prophesied. Now, the question is now, how are they going to be fulfilled? And as far as the Lord Jesus is concerned, right, even when he was attacked, even when he was betrayed, there was the tremendous presence of power, a presence of mind at that point of time. No, scriptures must be fulfilled. And this is truly the graciousness and the merciful part of the Lord Jesus that we see in beautiful display at this point of time. He will fulfill. Remember his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? Your will be done. And he says, unless it is, you know, I need to drink this cup, I will drink this cup. All right? And this is your will be done. And that is important for us to understand. So the Lord Jesus now addresses the multitude. And he said to them, have you come out as against a robber, with swords, with clubs to take me? In other words, what gave you the idea that you need to do this? Right? What is it all about? Daily I sat with you, teaching in the temple, you did not seize me. Right? Anytime you could wanted to arrest me, you could, but you didn't. Right? All these things here, why does it have to be done this way? Unfortunately, well, the Lord said, all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And all these things were there. You know, we talk about all the leaders who were against him and all who were outraged at his demeanor, about his authority, his miracles, his teaching. Everything about the Lord Jesus angered the people. All these things you will find in the scriptures and they will be fulfilled. Again here, there is reference to the fulfilling of the scripture by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are looking at an amazing thing here, very, very much. So here is the Lord Jesus Christ teaching this wonderful truth. Despite everything else, the scriptures must be fulfilled. Right? And this is absolutely important. So Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, and we talk about strike the shepherd, and all those who were, the sheep will be scattered. And this is something that the Lord had warned. And this was going to happen. You know, as we look at this story, when I first read this story many, many years ago as a youngster, I asked myself this question. Would I ever betray the Lord Jesus? Now, this is a great fear within me, that I could be one of those who, like Judas, end up betraying the Lord. Or like the other disciples, fleeing from the Lord. This is to be a fear that has been inside me. So I have to myself, would I end up betraying the Lord Jesus? Before I would dare to say no, I look around, and there were many people who were once upon a time went to church with me, and along the way, drop out, and we see a very few people who will actually remain faithful and true. Would we betray the Lord Jesus? Would you betray the Lord Jesus? You know, we all dare not to say foolishly that no matter what, we are going to be faithful and true. But fear is a very real thing. Would we flee in times of distress? Now, this is something we cannot guarantee, because once fear takes over, and that fear is a driving force and power inside our life, what should we do? Well, I came to only one conclusion at that point of time. It is still my prayer till today that the Lord will give me the strength. The Lord will help me to find that courage. That one, I will never be walking the path of Judas Iscariot. Two, I would not be like the disciples who would flee from danger, who flee to save my own skin. Those are prayers that I might make, and I can only make them humbly and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be faithful, to be true, to be strong, to be courageous, right to the very end. May this be your prayer too. Let's pray together. Our Father, we know how weak we really are. And in our weakness, we might end up one day betraying you, betraying the Savior who gave his life for us, or deserting him at a time of crisis. I pray that you will help us never to do that, but to learn how to love you deeply enough so that we will be faithful and true at all times to you. We pray for your forgiveness where we have wavered. Teach us how to find strength and courage. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.